Today on Real Radio.
That's why God's dealings with us, really from his angle, is a wonderful thing. Though we are bleating and bleeding, crying and screaming, God says, you'll be better not long from now because of this. Because of your difficulty, now the proximity of being on my shoulders and feeling my strength and my comfort, you're going to be able to get through anything from here on out, because you'll never wander away from me again.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John. We arrive at chapter 10, where we'll be looking at the first 10 verses. The title of the study is, Are You a Sheep? Now, of course, there's more than one implication in that question, as we'll see. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Are you a sheep? Are you a lamb of God? Well, we know this, that in John chapter 9, in our preceding study, we saw Jesus who, on the heels of healing the blind man, who, having received his sight, this blind man did, was kicked out of the fellowship of the Jews. Jesus touched the man. The Pharisees were so upset that Jesus had healed them by opening his eyes on the Sabbath day that in their reaction and response and disgust to Jesus and his love, they throw the man out. And Jesus, seeing that, reaches out to the man. But the beautiful thing about this man in chapter 9 is that he's healed radically and he's rejoicing. In fact, just by way of review, John chapter 9, verse 35 says there that Jesus, when he had heard that the man was cast out, he found him. I love that. Jesus found that man, just like he was a little lamb, huh? He went and found that man and said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said to him, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? He had not seen Jesus before, for the man went away. You know, he was healed. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him. That meant he was looking at him right at that very second. And it's he who's talking with you now. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And look what it says. And he worshiped him. That's what happens when you can see Jesus clearly. Having been healed by Jesus, now he follows Jesus. What a smart thing to do. A radical healing led to a radical relationship. And God wants to do that, and God is doing that in our lives. The man, having been rejected, is now accepted. Maybe you've been rejected in this life. You know, in fact, not maybe. I mean, haven't you been? Raise your hand if you've been rejected in this life. I mean, come on. Look, if you didn't raise your hand, you are so dense that you haven't caught on that people have rejected you. So maybe you're happy. But you know what? This life, we've been rejected in this world. But thank God, even still, when somebody rejects me, you know what? Jesus not only hasn't, he never will. Man, when God, you know, is on your side, as it's been said, it's a majority. Though all else be against us, the Lord is for us. And so this man, he didn't care that he had been kicked out. He was rejoicing in the Lord. His eyes had been opened. You can't take that away from him. Not only that, but he saw Jesus and he believed in him, and the man was saved. That word saved doesn't mean he was saved from the difficulties of life. It doesn't mean that he was saved from poverty or illness. It means that he was saved eternally. And that's very important, because as we get into the study of this chapter and the question, are you a sheep? It's all about the shepherd and the sheep and that relationship that you and I are to have with God. And the background to shepherds and to sheep in the Bible is most important. The shepherd of the day was a simple man, we learn. equipped with, listen, a pouch. He would have had a pouch. That pouch would have had cheese in it and bread and raisins, maybe some assorted nuts and figs. He had a very humble meal supply. He was dedicated to those sheep. On the other side of his pocket, he would have had a pouch full of stones. And he also would have had a wooden cruse of oil. He had the oil cruse because he would rub the heads of the little lambs and of the sheep. You want to know why? Listen, they would often run through bushes and briars and get hurt and skinned up. But also sheep, some shepherds with rebellious sheep would put so much oil on their heads, and for some that had horns on their horns, that when they butted heads, they were prone to butt heads. That because the oil or the anointing of the oil was so dense and so thick that if they thought about butting heads, they would often slip off from one another and not connect. So that's why the ushers this morning are going to come forward and anoint many of your heads today. That when you come against one another, you're just supposed to slip off, man. The sheep were to be anointed with oil. He had a cruse of oil. And he would rub it onto their head, not only to bring healing, but to also make them not so at odds with each other when they got a little spunky, you know. He not only had the cruse of oil, but he also had a rod. A rod was an interesting thing because it was not the shepherd's staff that we'll come to in a moment, but a rod was maybe about anywhere from 2 to 4 feet long, and it usually had a knot, a tree knot, the knot of a tree on that end, and sometimes hammered into it were spikes or stones. And it was used to prod and to push and to guide along. Sometimes when a little lamb didn't want to move, he would poke it in the hinder parts and it would move. So he had a rod. He would be equipped with a rod to do that work. But listen, he would also take that rod. Are you ready for this? He would also take that rod and he would break a leg of a lamb. So what kind of a shepherd's that? Oh, a good shepherd. Because what happens regarding the good shepherd is that if there's a lamb that's prone to wander away, if there's a lamb that's prone to get into trouble, and listen, lambs do this kind of stuff, sheep do it, the shepherd would notice after the second departure from the flock, I've got a little rebellious one here. He didn't go, "You wretched lamb, you! You'll be dinner tonight." Oh, no. He wouldn't even be rude or mean. See, I thought you said he broke his leg. He did break his leg. He'd go over there and get that little lamb, and he would set his little leg up between two rocks, and he would take that rod, and it'd break his leg. Say, man, how mean can you get? Oh, no, this is an absolute act of love. Oh, yeah, that's what my parents used to tell me when I was growing up. No, it's true. It's absolutely true. The shepherd would break the leg of the lamb because that lamb was prone to get into trouble. So the Lord would discipline, or the shepherd would discipline the lamb. And then, listen, right after breaking the lamb's leg, he would not even splint that leg. That lamb would show signs of its rebellion all the days of its life, but it would not be able to run away so quickly. But more importantly than that, you know what he would do? He would take that lamb and he would place it up on his shoulder. And whenever you saw a shepherd with a lamb on his shoulder, that meant that that lamb had a broken leg. He had broken it. And that little lamb would stay on his shoulder until that lamb was strong enough to walk again. But guess what happened? The lamb never departed from the fold or from the shepherd again. In fact, they tell us, I say they, I've read some books this week on how shepherds deal with sheep in Israel and all, that guess what lamb would never leave the shepherd's side from that point on? The one that had the broken leg. And you might say, well, that's because they're afraid. No, wrong. What happened was the lamb that had the broken leg stayed closer to the shepherd because it spent months on the shepherd's back and around his chest, bonding with the shepherd, getting to know the shepherd like never before, so that he thought of never leaving again. See, God disciplines us, but the moment he does, he places us on his shoulders so that we might draw closer to our Lord. That's why God's dealings with us really from his angle is a wonderful thing, though we are bleating and bleeding, crying and screaming, God says, you'll be better not long from now because of this. Because of your difficulty, now the proximity of being on my shoulders and feeling my strength and my comfort, you're going to be able to get through anything from here on out because you'll never wander away from me again. You know where your peace and shelter is at. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:6, great verse of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, breaks the leg, and he scourges, gives a spanking, to every son who he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with his son. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? I tell you, if you have a son and you don't discipline your son, brother, you've got problems. Well, he's just such a cute little guy. He's only 3 years old. Well, you may think he's cute, but nobody else wants to be around him because, you know what, you don't discipline the kid. He's a loose cannon. He's running around. He's, you know, pulling on Rudolph's nose. He's knocking things around. Everything's going crazy. This guy's an ornery little thing. And you go, look at him. He's such a little boy. And your friends are going, you ought to take him out back. And why? The Bible says a child left to himself is a reproach to his mother. And can we add father? God loves us, so God spanks us. It's all part of this shepherd-sheep relationship. We want to look at some things this morning in our study together. We want to look at John chapter 10, and we'll do our best to go from verses 1 through 10, but not to panic. I don't want to rush this. We'll follow this for weeks if need be. It's too important. The first thing we want to consider this regarding the question, are you a sheep? Do you belong to him? Is to understand this in verse 1, salvation is exclusively of God. Salvation is exclusively of God. Jesus says here, most assuredly. Can you mark it in your Bible? Circle it. Put a mark on there. Highlight it. Most assuredly. Some of your Bibles say, verily, verily, or truly, truly. Hey, hey. Listen up. Important, important is this announcement. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. First thing we consider this, verse 1. When he says, most assuredly, get this in your mind. Remember where we've come from in our study. The scribes and the Pharisees offered nothing to the people but fear and no hope, causing them to be insecure. The scribes and Pharisees turned to the sheepfold of Israel and offered them no comfort, but law this and law that, and you have sinned and you have erred. There was no grace, no mercy. So the first thing we notice regarding the exclusive salvation that is offered by God is that his salvation is absolute. God's salvation is absolute. Now listen, some of you may argue from various backgrounds of whatever denominational upbringing you had, and maybe your church argued this thing. They said things like, you could lose your salvation, you know. Other churches say, well, you'll never know if you're saved or not until you die. Well, thank you very much for the help. Some churches say, oh, you're saved, you know, you were born, your parents are Christians, you know, that means you've got to be one too, so you're okay, go, you know, live up a storm, it doesn't matter. That's wrong. But God's salvation is absolute. When he saves to the uttermost. He saves, that word means completely. He doesn't save halfway. So when he says most assuredly, he's addressing a certain group of people. And it's not the sheep, though you and I benefit from this teaching. He's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. If you read John chapter 8 and John chapter 9 and now come into John 10, it's clear he's speaking to those who were to be presiding over the sheepfold or the believers in Israel. It's with absoluteness that Jesus is teaching. It's a matter of fact. In Matthew 18:11, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And of course, predominantly that was to the nation Israel, but it does apply to us Gentiles. The second thing we see here in verse 1 is that his salvation is direct. It's not foggy. It's not hard to figure out. It is direct. He says, I say to you. And we don't get it in the English, but this is a strong word. If I could act it out in such a way, they were all upset in our last chapter about Jesus healing the blind man. Remember? So when Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, don't think that he's talking to the blind man. If you could look at it this way, Jesus puts his hands on his hips, then he puts his finger out and he points right to the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, and he says, I say to you. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Bet you could have heard a pin drop, you know? Well, when he says, I say to you, we know who these guys are from verse 40 of chapter 9, where it says some of the Pharisees who were with them heard these words. So we know who he's talking to. The sheepfold here is the consideration. And they, the religious hierarchy, was to providing shelter for them. So in the Jewish mind, this is a very pointed and very heated thing, because in that culture, shepherds and sheep were everywhere. You'll see them not many months from now. You'll see them. We'll go to the hill country and you'll see them. And the Judean area where sheep are mainly tended is about 35 miles long, 14 to 17 miles wide. It goes basically from the area of Jerusalem, Hebron, Bethel, that area. Rocky, but there'll be patches of pasture. But his salvation's direct. He is actually pointing to them and saying, I'm saying to you something, and you should have known it all along. And what I'm about to tell you is critically urgent, because you've missed something. They've been religious all their lives, and they've been the ones ordained to lead people in spiritual matters. Oh yes, I am the Right Reverend, the Honorable. And on these titles go, and it's like, you know what? What's with that? These guys could stand up and say, I am the Pharisee with a degree from the University of Jerusalem, and I have pastoral studies and a doctorate, and Jesus would say, shut up. You who are responsible for the welfare of the people, including blind people, you've blown it. He was being very direct. Why? Because God's salvation is direct. You guys, the religious leaders, you should have worked your fingers to the bone to see to it that they understood the grace of God and that God receives all those who will humble themselves and repent of their sin. And they had so many Old Testament examples of that. The third thing we look at here, we're still in verse 1, by the way. The third thing that we see right here is his salvation is so final. His salvation is final. Listen, can you do me a favor? Can you take a deep breath right now? Come on. And let it out. Don't you feel better? Your chest expands, because we so often breathe shallow. When we're stressed, our chest naturally has shallow breathing patterns. And there's times when you're under a lot of pressure, you got to take a deep breath. And, oh, okay. Listen, that's how salvation ought to feel spiritually. I'm not saying you ought to get a goosebump up your back. I'm not talking about feeling like that. I'm talking about there needs to be that, oh, yeah. Why? His salvation's final. They were to have known the Messiah had come. The great shepherd had arrived. He says here in verse 1, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Guess who he's talking to? Those ones right in front of him. A thief and a robber. Wow, get this. Jesus is primarily accusing these Pharisees of being thieves and robbers of the souls of men. He says they climb up some other way. Note it. Take note, Bible student. Circle the word other way. Are there other ways? Answer is surprisingly yes. There are many ways. All you have to do is leave this room and go outside and talk to the world. How do you get to God? I think there are many ways. Jesus says, if anybody is offering, suggesting, listen, telling you about another way, well, not only is there another way, but that way leads to eternal destruction. There's only one way to heaven. Oh, there are many highways and freeways out there. But brother, if you want to get to Pasadena, you've got to get on the 210. I love going to Seattle. You go to Seattle, you get out of the airport. You know what freeway you get on? Yeah, the 5. You know why? They only got one. Man, we tell people, okay, I want you to take the 73 to the 405, the 405 to the 133, take the 133 to the 247, and then you'll get there. Oh, there's all kinds of ways. But there's one way that leads to heaven. His salvation is so final. He says that there are those, by the way, who are thieves and robbers, and it's regarding your soul. Now, I don't know how you approach the Bible. Do you approach it passively? Well, it's such a neat book. It's been in my family for generations. Brother, if you don't look at this book as more vital than food itself, and the words of this book to be the exact way, you're in trouble. I am not going to get off my notes right here. I am not going to deviate on how this nation has divorced itself from absolutes. I am not going to get into the, I'm not going to go there to where the U.S. Supreme Court and the Florida Supreme Court are battling over the definition when it all comes down to it, absolutes. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to stay right on course. There are absolutes. It is God's rule. It's God's reign. It's the law. Why does this sign out there say 55? Because it's not 56. Well, it all depends on how you interpret it. This last Tuesday of this week, I was in the Capitol building in the United States, and I was outside the door of the majority whip and at his office, and there's a guard standing there. And I said, excuse me, I understand you're guarding the whip's office. Yes, Sam. I said, what does whip mean? And men, I mean, you ever been there? They're decked out. And I said, what does whip mean? What? I said, what does whip mean? It is my interpretation that whip means, and then blip, whatever fell out of it was. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to go look it up in the dictionary. It was my interpretation. Well, salvation, Jesus, you know, it's whatever you think. You know, if you're thinking like that is real near and dear to you, you can hang on to that and bring it up before God in the end. I highly encourage you to change the way that you think.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called Are You a Sheep? It's a look at the first 10 verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We'll pick up with more in this series through the Gospel of John on our next edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, you can get in touch with us and order your own audio copy of this study in its entirety. You can give us a call at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills at area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at www.calvaryCCH.org. That's calvaryCCH.org. As a matter of fact, you can get a lot of information when you visit us online. Everything from events and service times here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills to other things happening with our many outreaches. That's calvaryCCH.org. Also remember that Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Here's our address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, remember, you can always easily find it on our website at calvaryCCH.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.